morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine, and I'm very pleased today to finally have hooked up with Dr. Thomas O'Brien. We're going to talk about celiac and gluten intolerance. He is a chiropractic physician in Chicago, Illinois, and he is also a certified nutritionist and a diplomate in clinical nutrition by the board of the American Chiropractic Association. He's an adjunct faculty member of the Institute of Functional Medicine and the National University of Health Services. And welcome.
Good morning.
Okay, so we've decided that we're going to do a series, you and I have decided that we're going to do a series of programs, and so this is our first one, so we're going to do an overview of our topic. And so let's just start with, what's gluten?
Gluten is a protein in wheat, and there is a family of these proteins. It's like saying the Hatfields or the McCoys, you know. That's gluten.
Okay.
And gluten is contained in wheat, all forms of wheat, including durum, semolina, spelt, kamut, malt, couscous, bulgur, triticale, einkorn. It's also in rye and barley. Sorry, guys, that means beer, unless
right.
you get gluten-free beer.
Well, and there are gluten-free beers now.
And they're tasty. As a matter of fact, Budweiser came out with one. I mean, they know that there's a huge market for this because so many people have this and that more people are going to realize they have this, and so they produce gluten-free beers.
Well, that's pretty cool. Okay, so now one of the things that I heard in the last year was that the percent of gluten in, or maybe you said this, at the Western States Symposium a couple years ago, the amount of gluten in those has in wheat has doubled in the last 10 years?
It's called the 50-50 rule in the last 50 years.
Oh.
The amount of gluten's gone up by over 50%, and it's because all of the wheat is genetically modified. It's called a GMO food, that the seeds have been developed in laboratories so that they're very different than the wheat that Jesus Christ ate 2,000 years ago. So yes, I was on a show earlier this morning in Dallas, and a woman called in and thanked me for saying that because she said she's been in such conflict because the Bible talks about the staff of life. Wheat is the staff of life. I said, but unfortunately, that's not available anymore, that the food has been genetically modified to where it's not the same food.
Okay, so gluten intolerance, so that's what gluten is. So an intolerance is?
Yeah, one more thing about gluten,
yes.
And that is about oats. Questions come up about oats all the time. And when oats grow out of the ground, there's no gluten in them. When you buy oats off the shelf, there's often gluten in them. And how is that possible?
Right, trace amounts, yes.
Right. It's contamination. The trucks that bring the harvested oats from the fields to the manufacturing facility, they hauled wheat last week,
mm-hmm.
and they don't clean the trucks.
Well, so also in the places where they mill it.
That's
it's
right.
It's the same thing. Although a lot of people aren't that sensitive. Some are.
Well, but we can't represent to the public because it doesn't matter how you feel with this. It's what happens to your immune system
uh-huh.
that determines whether you die early in life or not.
Okay.
So it's not about whether they feel okay if I have a little. You can't be a little pregnant,
uh-huh.
and you can't have a little wheat, and that's really important. And I emphasize that a lot with our doctors in the seminars, that if you read the science, that you can't, if I may give you an example.
Okay.
They took a 34-year-old woman presented to a celiac clinic, specialty clinic, and she had been diagnosed a year earlier with celiac disease and told to go on a gluten-free diet. She did, and she didn't feel any better. So she went to a specialty clinic. That clinic, they took her blood work, and her antibodies were sky high. We'll talk about that later.
Mm-hmm.
They were sky high. They did an endoscopy, meaning they put a tube down the stomach to look at her intestines, and she had the worst wearing down of the intestines that's measurable. It's called MARSH 3C. It means there's no absorptive capability. The shags have worn down.
Mm-hmm.
Shag carpeting, your intestines have shag carpeting.
Right.
The shags have worn down. And so she was at very high risk of cancer and osteoporosis when she's a MARSH 3C. Her history was she was the shortest girl in the class. She had recurrent anemias, sick all the time, very little energy. Her hair was falling out. And now at 34, she'd been diagnosed chronic fatigue years ago, and her hair was still falling out, and she was anemic, and she was osteoporotic at 34 years old because Marsh 3C. So they said, "Madam, you must give up wheat." She said, "I did give up wheat." And they said, "Completely?" She said, "Yeah, well, you know, I had a piece of birthday cake about a month and a half ago, and I picked the croutons off the salad they put on by mistake, but there might have been one." She said, no, you can't have any. I said, okay. So she went completely gluten-free. She comes back a year later, and her blood work is now high normal or just over in the high range as opposed to being sky high. But her endoscopy is still Marsh 3C, no change at all. Her energy was up a little bit, so her symptoms were better. She was feeling better, but her intestines were still so chewed up. She was at high risk for cancer, lymphoma, and she still had osteoporosis. "Madam, you must give up wheat." She said, "I did give up completely. And they evaluated her diet, and she had. And they were about to call it refractory sprue, which is a really fancy word. It's a good Scrabble word, which means we don't know what you've got or why you've got it.
And it's bad.
And it's bad, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then there was a really sharp doctor that said, "Well, madam, are you a religious woman?" She was a nun in street clothes, and she was taking the communion host. And they said, you must give up the wafer." She said, "I will not. God will not allow it." I said, "We can't help you. Sorry." She left. And they wrote. They went to the priest, and they got a wafer. They asked him to break it the way they do before they give it to people, and they measured how much gluten is in each piece of the wafer. And it was just under a milligram of gluten in average in each piece of the wafer. Now, how much is a milligram? Cut your thumbnail in half. Cut it in half again. That's a quarter. Cut in half one more time. That's an eighth. An eighth of a thumbnail. That's about a milligram of gluten. And that's all it took for her to have complete villus atrophy, the shags worn down, high risk of cancer, high risk of early death, high risk of osteoporosis. She had osteoporosis and all the other symptoms. So they wrote a paper. A milligram of gluten a day keeps the villus healing away.
Okay.
Cute little title. Well, unbeknownst to them, she gave up the wafer. The bishop made her give up the wafer, and she came back a year later. She was radiant, full head of hair, energy like she had never had before in her life, dynamic and vibrant, her blood tests low normal, and her endoscopy completely normal, and her osteoporosis gone, completely gone. It was an eighth of a thumbnail of gluten. So you can't have any.
And that was once a week?
That was once a week, twice a week, somewhere in that category.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you use the word sprue, and the other word that people have heard is celiac. And a lot of people say to me, when they come to me and I say, "Well, maybe you have a problem with gluten," they go, "Oh, no, I had a test. I don't have celiac."
Uh-huh. Well, the test that's done is a blood test. And if we back up for a minute,
mm-hmm.
Your intestines are a tube, about 25, 30 feet of a tube that winds through your abdomen. The inside of the tube is lined with shag carpeting. And this shag is where calcium's absorbed. The shag over here, vitamin C. The shag over here, proteins. The shag over here, the good fats and fish oils. All the shags absorb different nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
When you have celiac disease, your shags are worn down and you've got Berber instead of shag.
Maybe indoor-outdoor carpet.
That's right, indoor-outdoor. And if you've got Berber, you don't have any shags, you don't absorb calcium, you get osteoporosis.
Mm-hmm.
What, it's not rocket science.
Right.
You know, excuse me.
Most medicine is not rocket science.
Right. There's some common sense things here.
Mm-hmm.
So the blood tests are very, very accurate if your shags are worn down completely.
But anything short of that, and they are negative.
That's correct.
Most of my patients who I suggest that they may have a problem with that tell me, "Oh, I've had the test and I'm fine." I go, "That test doesn't test your problem. It tests one kind of problem, which you don't have, but you may have some other degree of it."
That's correct. It tests the end stage. See, it starts with fire in the gut. It's called inflammation. It
mm-hmm.
starts with inflammation in the intestines. And the inflammation is there, and people can cook with this inflammation for a long time, years.
Mm-hmm.
And they just have sore tummies, or they don't even have sore tummies. It's the most dangerous aspect of gluten sensitivity is when you just have inflammation. Twice as many people die that just have inflammation compared to those that have their shags worn down. The studies came out in September last year in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Just inflammation is a 72% increased risk of early mortality.
From all causes.
From all causes. If you have celiac disease with your shags worn down, it's 35%.
Oh.
But if you have inflammation, it's 72%.
Well, because inflammation doesn't have a boundary.
That's right.
Nobody
treats the inflammation in the gut until it's so bad, until your system is so bad, the symptoms are so bad, and you finally get the right diagnosis.
Mm. Okay, so let's go back to celiac.
So it starts with inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually your shags start to wear down a little at a time, a little at partial villus atrophy, it's called, and then mid-villus atrophy, and then finally total villus atrophy.
Mm-hmm.
And the blood tests are very accurate for total villus atrophy.
But not for anything else.
Not for anything else. So it's wrong to do a blood test, come back negative, and say, you're fine, it's okay to eat gluten. It's incorrect because it's not a sensitive test. It's a sensitive test to look at the end stage of the problem. Let me give your listeners one more example of this. We've all had the experience of a friend or a family member that had a heart attack and survived. And their doctor said, you know, you had one or two previous heart attacks. And the guy said, no, I didn't. He said, oh, yeah, yes, you did. You just never knew it. And we've heard that story many, many times.
Sure.
How do they know?
Oh, yeah.
Because of an EKG, right?
Right. You can see the previous damage.
You can see the damage.
Mm-hmm.
What if our doctors doing blood tests for our physical, if they didn't see any damage of a previous heart attack, say, no, you don't have a problem with cholesterol. It's okay to eat whatever you want. That's what it is with this blood test with celiac disease.
Mm-hmm.
That if you don't have evidence of the damage, total damage actually, all the way worn down, the blood tests aren't sensitive enough to identify the partial or the early stages.
Mm-hmm. Well, since we're talking about tests, to me, there's really only one test, and that's elimination for a month.
Yes. The Institute for Functional Medicine, our recommendation is the modified elimination diet. And that is the most sensitive test. Because when you go on the modified elimination diet, what that means is gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free. When you go with at least those three things for a month, and I don't mean the sugar and ketchup. I mean sweets and candies and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that for a month, so many people feel dramatically better. Then go out and have a pizza and see how you feel. And it's just like you start laughing because you know what will happen.
Well, I actually did that 2 years ago.
What happened?
Well, I didn't have a pizza. I actually went to my favorite restaurant and had some fresh baked fluffy white bread, three hunks of it. Well, within minutes, my mouth started to swell up. My tongue was burning. I had this horrible stomach pain. And the whole thing lasted. Oh, and my face got bright red like I had put lipstick or clown makeup all over up to my eyes.
Yes.
I was sick for 2 weeks.
Yes.
It was so obvious. I don't need a test. I get it.
Yes.
And the same thing happened with beer.
Yes. Unfortunately, that's true, but not with gluten-free beer.
Well, right, but this was 2 years ago. This was before gluten-free beer.
Right, right. So, that's exactly what happens to your listeners.
Right.
If you do the elimination diet and do it thoroughly, you know, just set it up so you buy rice pasta ahead of time so you can have pasta at home and buy gluten-free breads, and there's really good ones. Now, just set yourself up as opposed to, okay, I'm going to start today. No, don't do that.
Right, be ready.
Right, be ready. Buy some gluten-free cookies if you're a cookie person and you want cookies so you don't feel deprived. And, you know, just set yourself up and then do it for 3 weeks to a month and just notice what happens.
Well, yeah, I had a patient who was starving to death. I looked at her and I said, this woman is dying. And she'd had a stomach ache for 5 years. No one had ever been able to figure out what it was. And they were now talking about wanting to, you know, start chopping some of her guts out. And I just had this hunch. I just said, would you please eliminate gluten for a month? And she said, no. And I said, yeah, please do this because I think this is what you need. But just a hunch. And 2 weeks later, she called up and she was livid. I hate this. This is so tough. I'm no better. At 2.5 weeks, she called and said, oh, my God, my stomach ache went away.
Yes.
And then it was obvious to her every time she'd like, well, wait, there's still something. And then she discovered she also had a problem with dairy.
Yeah.
And, she started gaining weight. She started being healthy.
Healthy weight, not overweight.
No. This woman was absolutely emaciated.
Right.
Just
exactly.
Gone.
I just want to make sure your listeners know that, you know, you start gaining weight to get healthy.
Right.
Because
but we're not talking about obese people. We're talking about people that are absolutely skin and bones.
Right.
I mean, in
right.
this case. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more. We're back. You are listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm with Dr. Thomas O'Brien. He is a chiropractic physician, also a clinical nutritionist, and a diplomate of clinical nutrition based in Chicago. Why don't you give your website where people can find you?
Oh, thank you. The website is www.thedoctor.com, T-H-E-D-R, thedoctor.com.
And it's all lowercase.
Yes, I don't know that it matters, but it might.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
All right. So you were mentioning that there is coming, but I've heard this before, that there's on the horizon that there's some salivary test that should be much more accurate at less than those extreme levels of damage.
Oh, that's very funny, Dr. Goldin. I've heard this before. Yes, I know. I've been talking about it for over a year that it's coming. Well, it will be here in about 4 to 6 weeks. It's the new test is an oral fluids gluten sensitivity test, and the lab is Cyrex, C-Y-R-E-X, CyrexLabs.com. And it's a saliva test. You spit in a tube 4 times in 1 day, and it's much more sensitive for gluten sensitivity and celiac disease without your shags being worn down.
Okay, now is this a test that like a person can like go to this lab, have them send them a kit, and they send it in themselves so they don't even need a doctor, they can just do it themselves?
It's my understanding that the lab is going to have a service available for people to order the test kit directly, but I'm not sure about that.
Okay, so if not, then they may need to bother their doctor.
If not, they'll have to talk to their doctor, or they can go to my website,
okay,
thedoctor.com.
And then you can get it to them.
Correct.
So somebody can. All right, well, it sounds like we should locally have some people doing that. I can certainly get some of those test kits. And so now you think that with this test kit, we're suddenly going to have a huge amount of positive diagnoses?
Oh, the entire world of knowledge around gluten sensitivity is in the midst of a transition and is going to catapult as soon as this test comes out. We have thousands of doctors waiting for this test right now, thousands of doctors, because they understand the science and the validity of it, and they're frustrated that the blood tests come back negative so often, and then the patient doesn't want to do a gluten-free diet because the blood test came back negative, because it's the wrong test.
Right. Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with do a month of gluten-free. I mean, God, it's...
Well, for people like you and I who are in the health field, and we've seen it for so many years, and we know how much better people feel, it's not a big deal to do gluten-free for a month. But for someone that's eating the regular American diet, the standard American diet, which stands for SAD, the standard American diet...
Yes, the sad American diet.
The sad American diet, right. It turns their life around.
Right, and it does. But once you get, the longer you do it, the easier it gets.
Exactly. That's why if you do 3 to 4 weeks, you just say, oh my gosh, I feel like a new person.
Mm-hmm.
But now with this saliva test, so many people will accurately get a measurement that their immune system is reacting to this food, that it'll give them more validity and thus instill more compliance.
Okay, now do you think that there are more people with this problem, or are we just getting better at noticing?
That's a really good question, and a study was just published in September of last year on that exact topic. And the study from doctors at Mayo Clinic was in the journal Gastroenterology just in the fall of last year. That's the major journal for gastroenterologists to read. Those are stomach doctors, intestine doctors. And the name of the study, Increased Prevalence and Mortality in Undiagnosed Celiac Disease. And here's what they did. They found, you know, there were some airmen on a base, airmen on a base in Nebraska in 1944 to 1946. They drew blood on all of these airmen. These are young, virile, 22-year-old guys, you know, around that age bracket, because there was a strep infection on the base. So they drew blood on everybody to see who had strep and who didn't. because at that time strep was very, very dangerous. The strep infection was could be fatal.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the drugs that we have.
Right, no antibiotics.
Right. And they froze the blood. And the doctor that did all of this research on the base lab, he had it in some cooler, some little portable cooler thing, and the cooler leaked. And it leaked so that this all of this blood got encased in solid ice. What normally happens is that the rubber stopper on the tube that the blood is in, you know, breaks down in a couple of years. Back in the 40s, the rubber wasn't as good as it is today, and the tube would break down, you know, the stopper would break down in a couple mm-hmm. of years. But because it was frozen solid in ice, not just in a freezer, it was a solid block of ice, the rubber didn't break down. It's like it was buried in the tundra, the Arctic mm-hmm. tundra or something. Mm-hmm. So Mayo Clinic found out about this blood a couple of years ago, that it was still there. They still had this blood from 4,000 airmen in the 1940s. So they got permission to take samples of all of this blood to see how many of these guys, and it was mostly men because there weren't that many women in the Air Force back in the 40s,
mm-hmm.
how many of these guys had silent celiac disease now, or celiac disease at all? Now, celiac disease, if you think of an iceberg, above the waterline, that amount of ice are the people that have the flaming guts and the diarrhea. They're emaciated like your patient that mm-hmm. you talked about earlier. Under the waterline of the iceberg, it's so much bigger. That's silent celiac disease. They don't know they've got a problem. And the ratio
in fact, they would argue to their death that they do not have a problem.
Exactly right. They think they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And the ratio is 8-1. For everyone above the waterline, there's 8 below that think they're fine.
Oh, my.
And so they looked to see how many of these people had silent celiac disease, and they found out how many did. And then they followed all of these airmen for the next 50 years. Remember, they were in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So they followed them exactly for 45 years. And who died? And what did they die of? And they found that the death rate for those that had silent celiac disease, they didn't know they had the problem, was 400% greater than all the other airmen on the base who were living into their 70s and 80s. But if they had silent celiac disease, the death rate was fourfold higher.
Whoa.
Early death.
This sounds like a pretty huge public health problem.
It's huge. It's huge. Oh, and the other thing they found, I'm sorry, because to be direct to your question, I just get a little worked up on this stuff.
It's okay.
This kills people. Mm-hmm. It kills them every day, and doctors don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing they found was that the prevalence of the disease today, if they take 22-year-olds today, mm-hmm. just 4,000 22-year-olds, the prevalence today is 4 times greater than it was back in the 40s. It's much more prevalent today.
Did they postulate why that might
be? They did. They said there's no way that the genes change. It's not genetic at all. Mm-hmm. It's environmental.
So it's what we're eating.
It's what we're eating and what we're breathing. So it's a couple of things. One, it's that all of the gluten is genetically modified. That's an environmental change. It's mm-hmm. not the same foods.
Mm-hmm.
And two, all the chemicals that we're exposed to in today's world affects our gut. For example, a study came out 2 weeks ago that showed 9 out of 10 newborns, had BPA in their bloodstream.
What's that?
BPA is the chemical that softens plastic in plastic bottles. And it acts just like DES did. And for earlier, in the 1950s, women who were nausea and pregnancy were given mm-hmm. DES. Their daughters have much higher incidence of fatal ovarian cancers and breast cancers because of the drug their mom took in pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And BPA acts just like DES. And 9 out of 10 infants have this in the bloodstream, meaning it's in all of us now.
Right.
So it's environmental. It's what we're exposed to mm-hmm. that's making us much more sensitive to autoimmune disease.
Okay, well, so before people think that they might want to, you know, slit their throats because it's hopeless, you can limit the amount of chemicals and modified foods that you put in your body and improve your health and change that picture.
That's exactly right. The first thing, of course, is stop throwing gasoline on the fire.
Right. Let's cool that inflammation.
That's right. I mean, it's just silly. If you get a positive test that comes back, or if you go for 3 to 4 weeks on a gluten-free, dairy-free diet, and you feel like $1 million, and then you start throwing back in there and your headaches come back or your depression comes back,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay, you just take your medicines and you keep eating pizza, there's something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
if you're not getting any support from your health provider to continue, that there's a link between, I mean, we haven't even listed the possible symptoms that people could have.
That's exactly right.
Maybe we should do a quick run through. You need to get support. That you're on the right track, because in my weight management classes, I always find at least one person who, after a month of no grains, has such dramatic health problems. I mean, we can see that they've got a gluten problem, and at least one person in every class.
Yes.
And they need support that it's okay to go against the grain, literally.
That's good. It's okay to go against the grain. Right. That's very good. I like that.
You feel free to steal it. So let's go through some symptoms. You mentioned headaches, migraines, anemia.
Condition. I published a paper in the Journal of Practical Gastroenterology last fall about reproductive disorders and celiac disease, miscarriages, low birth weight babies, preterm births. They all may be caused by this. One in every 70 pregnant women admitted to the hospital for any reason was a celiac patient. One in 70. And they didn't know. And 85, I think it was, maybe 88% of them had poor outcome of pregnancy, meaning a lot of them lost the babies. And 8 of 9 of these women, a year on a gluten-free diet, had healthy second pregnancies and healthy babies. So it could be reproductive disorders. It mm-hmm. could be attention deficit. And I've got all the studies to talk about this. It could be epilepsy. Mm-hmm. 50% of children with drug-resistant epilepsy, 50% of them, drug-resistant meaning the drugs don't work.
Mm-hmm.
And can you imagine being a parent with your child getting seizures and you've been to 3 neurologists and the drugs don't work? 50% of them on a gluten-free diet go into complete remission.
Whoa.
So, yeah, exactly. It could be psoriasis. It could be rheumatoid arthritis. It could be any autoimmune disease.
Mm-hmm.
It could be just fatigue, chronic fatigue.
It could just be stomach aches that just are persistent.
It could be persistent stomach aches. It could be a loose bowels. It could be constipation.
Mm-hmm.
The symptom list is so extensive because when you throw gasoline on the fire, that fire goes anywhere in your body.
Oh, right. One of the areas you talked about in that seminar I went to in Portland was about thyroid problems.
Oh, it's very, very common. Thyroid autoimmune disease is the number one autoimmune disease of all. It's the most prevalent. And thyroid autoimmune disease is 4 times more common if you're a celiac patient. 4 times more common. So that may be the only place it manifests, is that mm-hmm. you've got cold hands and feet. Or it's hard to get up in the morning. You wish you had 20 more minutes in bed. Or you can't lose weight even if you try. These are all signs and suggestive of thyroid dysfunction.
Right. And yet, if you just treat the thyroid problem, you're not addressing the real problem.
Right. So many people who are on thyroid medication, they still have a lot of symptoms. They're better with the medication. They still have a lot of symptoms. It's because they're still throwing gasoline on the fire.
Mm-hmm. Right. They have to fix the underlying problem. Okay. Well, we had a couple of questions. Where do you find organic gluten-free food? Everywhere now, even in major grocery stores, food co-ops.
Right. And
go ahead.
Okay. There's also a website, celiac.com, C-E-L-I-A-C. Celiac.com has been around since 1995. They've got hundreds and hundreds of pages of information. What medications have gluten in them? Which cosmetics are gluten-free? What alcohols are gluten-free? And they've got lists of vendors that have really good breads and pastas and things like that.
Thank you. You have been listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin. I've been with Dr. Thomas O'Brien. He's a chiropractic physician who is a clinical nutritionist and a diplomate in clinical nutrition.